Today is the second Sunday of Advent. The scripture lessons are from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10, and the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Today's message titled, Root of Jesse. Hear from the prophet Isaiah chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. Here ends the scripture lesson. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter, beginning at verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, thou hast given us thy word, for a light to shine upon our path. Grant us so to meditate on that word and to follow its teachings that we may see, that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Summer of 63, my grandfather had a heart attack. A pacemaker was put in place to help his weakened heart continue pumping. I don't remember how many pacemakers he went on to outlive. I know it was at least 5 pacemakers. The summer of 63 is what brought my parents back to Decorah to be with him, and my mom stayed on to help. It was these things that brought about me being born in Decorah instead of Albuquerque, where my dad was stationed at the time. With the weakened heart, the life of parish pastor came to a close. A little while later, a move as the parish house had to be vacated to make way for the next pastor to move in and begin ministry at Glenwood and Canoe Ridge. Down to Texas they moved, to the valley, to live in a trailer park. Grandma Lee, Grandpa Lee, and my uncle, who is still in high school, down to the valley. With time in his hands, my grandpa would grab a small cassette recorder and began telling the family story. Tape after tape after tape after cassette tape. Many cassette tapes were recorded through the years. The family story had to be kept alive for the generations to come. Several years ago, my dad carefully transcribed the tapes and he published them in a book and passed that book around to many family members. I don't remember seeing Grandpa recording the cassette tapes, but I do remember him checking his pacemaker. He would grab his small transistor radio, set the frequency, then hold the radio close to his chest and count the clicks to make sure the pacemaker was on pace. I also remember Grandpa having to leave the room whenever the microwave was being used. Early pacemakers were not as robust as the ones of today. Remembering the family story, remembering history, digging into family genealogy, as many of you do also, that family history, it is what makes you who you are. Warts and all. The good, the bad, and the ugly too. History is that continuous flowing from birth to death, beginning and ending, and all that happens in between. With each birth, the wonder of life from the Lord puts in place that overlap that builds from generation to generation. As the years pass with the changes of vocabulary, ethics, and ideals, sometimes for better, sometimes for worse. Taking events at face value from the perspective of the days they occurred, that is the proper manner to approach history, instead of reading into the past the perspective of current times. Taking today's perspectives and imposing them on the past, doing so brings great misunderstanding and revisionism. And imposing them on the past, it does not tell the truth, but obscures the truth. It's making molehills into mountains. It's misconstruing the facts in such a manner to the point of actually twisting the facts into lies. Understand history by stepping into history, into the contemporary context, the commonality of viewpoint of the time. Contextualize the words as they were used at that time and what they meant at that time. Do that to grasp onto that understanding. In doing so, you may see the greatness of God's hand moving in human history. This wild-looking man, appears in the wilderness. Born to Elizabeth and Zechariah in their old age. Like Isaac was born to Abraham and Sarah in their old age. John born to Elizabeth and Zechariah in fulfillment of the word the angel brought to Zechariah, who was struck speechless because of his own disbelief. John, name him John. He is to be raised as a Nazarite, as described in Numbers chapter 6. Its meaning set apart in devotion to the Lord. At the time the Lord appointed, this John came preaching in the wilderness and drawing great crowds, for there was great interest of the things of faith. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent, it means change your ways. Live differently than before. Why? For the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is drawn near, has drawn near, and what it means is extreme closeness is now there with an immediate imminence. For the it is here, the kingdom of heaven, it is here, it's about to come. That it is here is just right about here. Who is this John? More than the son of Elizabeth and Zechariah, who is he? Matthew writes in a manner so we can make the connection to see. Matthew chapter 3, verse 3. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. You can find it written in Isaiah chapter 40. That's where this prophecy is found, the way being prepared. There is one coming whom John recognized as greater, much greater than he is, such that he is unworthy to even untie the dusty, disgustingly smelly, dirty sandals of him who is about to be here. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. I baptize you with water for repentance. That's John speaking. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. For years, the Jewish people have been looking for the promised one, their Messiah. They even asked John if he was the one. It's written in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, starting at verse 19. Now this was John's testimony. It's John the Baptizer's testimony, the disciple John is writing about. So you get the Johns correctly assumed or situated. Now this John's testimony, that's John the Baptizer, when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was, he did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Christ. They asked him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Finally, they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord. John answered. John the Baptizer answered with the words of the prophet Isaiah. The words that Isaiah was given. The prophet Isaiah was given these words from God to write down so that when the time came for fulfillment, all would recognize what was happening. This is the one proclaiming, prepare the way. The way is being prepared. It means the one who is to come and is on his way. About here. The one, that one, will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He's about here. The way is being prepared. It is important to recognize the one, for that one will be the way, the truth, and the life that opens the way to the Father. To help recognize that one, the Messiah means anointed. Also, Christ means anointed. Matthew begins his gospel as he does. the Gospel of Matthew. Remember, this was written for the Jewish people, showing them that the long-awaited Messiah, their longed-for and long-awaited hope, has come. Referencing the Scripture and what the prophets had written, pointing to the one to come, to show, Matthew quotes that so much to show, here he is. Here he is. This is the Messiah we've been waiting for. Jesus called the Christ. Matthew begins with genealogy for the Jewish people. This is important. And this is important for all people to understand. But for the Jewish people, who you are is who you are from. Your roots. Your ancestors. What tribe are you from? What town are you from? What place? Remember, at that time, there were no formal surnames, no common last names. So as to distinguish who you are speaking of, one would say, Simon Barjona, which means Simon, son of Jonah, which Jesus did. And you can find this in Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Simon Barjona means Simon, son of Jonah, to distinguish this Simon, who is Peter, from Simon the Zealot, who is also listed amongst the 12 disciples in the Gospel of Matthew. So we have this record of genealogy. So Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then jumping down a few generations, we find, I'm jumping down to verse 5 of chapter 1. Simon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of King David. Jesse had several sons, such that Samuel was confused. Jump back in time with me. Israel cried out for a king, like the other nations around them. Saul was anointed king. Eventually, Saul's heart would turn away, such that we find this written in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 11. "I am grieved that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions." Samuel was troubled and cried out to the Lord all that night. It was the Lord speaking these words to Samuel. "I am grieved that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions." The prophet Samuel grieves. He's troubled. Time passes. And the Lord says to Samuel, it's written in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." You most likely remember the feast there at Jesse's house. As the sons of Jesse passed by, sons that are big and muscular and handsome, such that Samuel says, "Surely this is the one." The Lord answers, "Nope." I doubt if that's in the Hebrew, but that works. "Nope, not the one." The Lord says this. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." All the sons pass by. Any more sons? The Lord has not chosen any of these. Any more sons? Well, there's the youngest out watching the sheep. Go get him. When David arrives, the Lord says to Samuel, "Rise and anoint him. He is the one." You may not notice, but what has just happened now, the kingship moves from Saul of the tribe of Benjamin to David of the tribe of Judah. Moving from the youngest of Jacob's son, born to his favorite Rachel, to Jacob's fourthborn of his despised Leah. This is in fulfillment of prophecy. As Jacob was about to die, you know Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Jacob was about to die. He blesses his 12 sons. To Judah, these words are spoken. Judah's the fourthborn. This is from Genesis chapter 49, beginning at verse 9. You are a lion's club, O Judah. You return from the prey, my son, like a lion. He crouches and lies down like a lioness. Who dares to rouse him? Listen carefully now. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. The scepter will not depart from Judah until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. There is one to come to whom the scepter already belongs. The scepter already belongs to him. He's coming. He will come. Time passes, and the house of David no longer rules in Jerusalem. Jerusalem falls in 586 to the Babylonians. Zedekiah was the last king of the house of David as the kingdom of Judah was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. However, years earlier, this promise was given. This prophecy was written down at the Lord's direction to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and power, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So here's the timeline. David is king around 1000 BC. I'm just giving you rough years. About 700 BC, Isaiah is instructed by the Lord God to write, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. 586 BC, the house of David is no longer ruling in Jerusalem. The kingdom of Judah has fallen. So even before the fall of the house of David, this promise was given. From what was dead, what has gone, life will come again. What was once dead will be alive. Don't despair, for the Lord is going to do great things. Watch, wait, be prepared, and all will be ready when the promise is fulfilled. That moment will be glorious. Returning to the genealogy of Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 1, verse 16. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. This Jesus is the Christ. This Jesus is your Messiah. Matthew will show in his letter, his gospel writing, Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. Matthew chapter 1, beginning of verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Do you know what that means? The root of Jesse has come. The long-promised Messiah of the tribe of Judah has come, to whom the scepter already belongs. Come, coming to pay the redeeming price. with His own flesh, His own blood on the cross. Crucified, dead, and buried. Looks like defeat. It looks like defeat. But in this is the greatest victory. Death could not hold Him. Grave could not keep Him. Death is defeated. This Jesus, the crucified one, is the risen one, the Christ. John appeared in the wilderness to prepare the way for this Jesus, who is called Christ. The root of Jesse has come. Sing for joy. Isaiah chapter 12 is connected to Isaiah chapter 11 prophecies. This is Isaiah chapter 12, beginning at verse 2. Surely God is my salvation. That's that root of Jesse. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known among the nations what He has done, and proclaim that His name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for He has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Among your very presence. Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Lord, means your salvation has come. And just as assuredly, prophecy was filled, Jesus coming, the root of Jesse will come. These words of Jesus the Christ coming again, all those words about Jesus coming again, they will be fulfilled in that glorious day. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10. Then in that day, the nations will resort to the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal for the people. What that means, all the nations will come to the root of Jesse. All nations, all peoples, all ethnicities, Gentiles, and all across. In that day, the nations will come to the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal for the people, and His resting place will be glorious. Now we jump into Revelation. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5. And one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the Lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome, so as to open the book and its seven seals. Jumping down to Revelation 22, the last book in the Bible. Revelation 22, beginning of verse 12. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. Jumping down to verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The root of Jesse coming means the book of life will be opened and the tree of life will be yours to partake from. Your robes will be washed, and you will enter into the eternal city, into the very presence of the Lord God forever and ever, without end. This is yours in Christ. So be filled with hope. Be filled with peace, for the root of Jesse has come and will come. Amen and amen.